Morning, everyone. Good to have you here this morning. I appreciate the presence of all of you, especially those of you who may be visiting with us. If you would get your Bible and be ready to study along with us in God's Word. And as always, if you hear anything that you believe not to be true according to the Word of God, please let me know. Let us know, because our desire here is to teach the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth. Because that is the way to salvation, not my opinions, not your opinions, not what the majority does, but what God's Word says. And that is what we're striving to do. And it is important to know and to follow God's Word, but I think sometimes in our efforts to be absolutely sure we are doing good work, doing what God wants us to do, we forget some of those things that God also wants us to do. Somebody has said, and I'm going to quote exactly here, strict judgment is what we want for other people, but not for ourselves. What we want for ourselves is mercy. I've heard that put a different way in times past, but I think that tends to be true. When we hear of somebody who's done wrong in society publicly, we want justice. But when we are standing before the judge, we want mercy. We want leniency. And we sometimes tend to be the very ones to whom Jesus was speaking in Matthew, the 7th chapter, in verses 3 and 4, when he said, "Why do you look at the speck in your brother's eye, but do not consider the plank in your own eye? Or how can you say to your brother, 'Let me remove the speck from your eye,' and look, a plank is in your own eye?" I say that because sometimes it is so easy to see the faults in others, but not quite so easy to see our own. When we do something wrong, we expect mercy and forgiveness. When somebody else does something wrong, we demand justice and punishment. And sometimes we're not as fair and just as we would like to think we are. And mercy is one of those attributes that we love about God, though, isn't it? We who are Christians are those who have recognized the great mercy of God. And as a response to that mercy, we have willingly submitted to His will, because we also recognize that we were guilty and unworthy of such love and the great sacrifice of His Son and our Savior Jesus Christ. We freely acknowledge, as Paul wrote in Titus chapter 3 and verse 5, that it was not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to His mercy, He saved us. This incredible mercy that's been shown toward us should then cause us to also be merciful, but we do often forget, don't we? We see the reality of this in the parable in Matthew the 18th chapter, beginning verse 21. The parable of what is called the unforgiving servant, who, after he was forgiven of a debt that he could not ever hope to repay, he went out and completely ignored what had been done for him and would not show even the smallest amount of mercy to another servant who owed him a much smaller debt. And in the story, the master, when he heard about it, called that servant back and decreed that he should be thrown in prison until he could repay the debt. And the point of the parable was that we are to be just as merciful to others and forgiving to others as God has been to us. And if not, we can't expect to receive His mercy in the end. And so, with eternity at stake, kind of important, right? With eternity at stake, I don't think it is beyond being reminded of the great need for us to be merciful disciples. As we strive to be diligent to present ourselves approved to God, as Paul says, 2 Timothy 2 and verse 15. As we strive to be diligent to present ourselves approved to God, remember to be merciful. And as you do your best to carefully obey the voice of the Lord your God, as was stated to the children of Israel in Deuteronomy 15 verse 5, as we strive to do the same, we need to remember to be merciful. And as we strive to worship God in spirit and in truth, John 4:23 and 24, We need to remember to be merciful. And as you study God's Word consistently, that you might understand what the will of the Lord is, Ephesians 5 verse 17, we need to remember to be merciful. Why do I say that? Why do I say remember to be merciful? That's because it's what is required of us as God's people. I don't believe it is too much to ask, and I think we would all hopefully agree on that. I don't think it would be too much to ask, or even for God to demand that we be people of mercy, simply because that's what God expects us to be. Mercy is required of God's people, and really has always been. Late in the kingdom of Judah, in the book of Amos, in the second chapter, God's people were in a state of persistent unfaithfulness. But it was more than their simple unfaithfulness to God that drove God to allow them to go into captivity. Part of it was how they treated their fellow men. Listen to what Amos says in speaking God's word of condemnation to the Israelites. In chapter 2, verses 6 and 7, when God described the people of the land, He condemned those who He said would sell the righteous for silver and the poor for a pair of sandals, who would pant after the dust of the earth which is on the head of the poor and pervert the way of the humble. Now try to get that picture in your head, literally what is being said here. Selling the righteous ones for silver, the righteous brethren of theirs, they would sell to, as slaves to others for money, and the poor for just a pair of sandals. They would look at the extremely poor person who had nothing and see that there was a little bit of dust on their head, and they would want even that. It wasn't bad enough that they had nothing. The dust on their head, they wanted that. They didn't care for the person on whom that dust was sitting on. They wanted the dust off of their head. He would say also in the book of Micah in chapter 2 and verse 2, it was those who covet fields and take them by violence. And in chapter 3 and verse 2, the leaders were those whom he described as ones who hate good and love evil. And not only had they forgotten the greatest commandment, Deuteronomy 6 and verse 5, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, and strength. They also forgot the second great commandment, Leviticus 19 verse 18, to love your neighbor as yourself. And because of this, we go back to the book of Micah then in chapter 6 and verse 8. And because of this, God would ask through Micah, He has shown you, O man, what is good. And what does the Lord require of you but to do justly, to love mercy, and to walk humbly with your God. To love mercy to God is good. He has shown you, He said, what is good. That's good, loving mercy. You see, that has always been His expectation of us. Let's go back to that parable of the unforgiving servant. In the story, the man owed a debt of 10,000 denarii, which was a debt that he literally could not live long enough to pay off. A denarii was about one day's pay. 10,000 days, you add that up. He's not going to live that long. But he's brought before the master, and he pleads with the master, give me time and I will repay, which is a joke in itself. You can't live long enough to pay this debt. But the master was moved with compassion, released him and forgave him the debt. We would think that this man would now be eternally grateful for such a debt being forgiven, but he wasn't. We read on that that servant went out and found one of his fellow servants who owed him 100 denarii, about 3 months worth of pay. And he demanded payment from this servant. This servant who owed him 100 denarii made the same plea, give me more time and I will repay, which was something he could actually possibly do. But the servant who had been forgiven would not and threw him into debtor's prison. Well, the master heard about this, and he called the first servant back and angrily said to him, should you not also have had compassion on your fellow servant just as I had pity on you? And the master then delivered him to the torturers until he should pay all that was due him. And so Jesus tells the audience then, so my heavenly Father also will do to you if each of you from his heart does not forgive his brother his trespasses. Now there's some pretty important words right there that we need to not overlook. The fact that Jesus said, my Father will do the same to you. What was that? What had been done to this unforgiving servant by the master? And what will he do? Why will he do this? If we do not forgive our brother his trespasses. And notice he said, from the heart. Not superficially, not just with lips, not just with the words. If we don't do it from the heart. Brethren, we need to remember to be merciful because God was merciful to us. Maybe this is something that's more important than what we may think. As Christians today, we tend to focus on our efforts toward ensuring that we are doing the will of the Lord, which again is the right thing to do. But at the same time, we should not neglect or overlook something that God says is something that's even more important. Mercy. We find in Matthew the 9th chapter, once when Jesus was in his own city, he called Matthew the tax collector to follow him, and he did. And later when he sat in the house with him and the other disciples, it is said that, behold, many tax collectors and sinners came and sat down with him and his disciples. And when the Pharisees saw this, they asked the disciples, it's almost like, we're going to kind of throw shade at Jesus over here, but we're not going to talk directly to him. We're going to say this to his disciples. So they asked the disciples, why does your teacher eat with tax collectors and sinners? They're trying to insult Jesus as he's sitting there, as if he wasn't sitting there. They insulted upon insult. Or at least they thought it was an insult to eat with tax collectors and sinners. But Jesus answered. He took the opportunity to answer them, telling them, those who are well have no need of a physician, but those who are sick. But go and learn what this means. Now, Jesus is kind of throwing it back on them. You need to go learn what God has said. These Pharisees who thought they knew it all and knew it better than anybody else. I want you to go learn what this means. And look what he told them to learn. I desire mercy and not sacrifice. You know who said that? God said that. That's a quote from Hosea, the 6th chapter in verse 6. The point was they had overlooked mercy altogether. Though God had demanded it more than even the sacrifices. In the context of what he was saying there in Hosea the 6th chapter, were the Israelites still offering sacrifices? Yes, they were. But were they showing mercy to their fellow man? They were not. And God was essentially saying to them, I would rather you not even sacrifice if you're not going to show mercy to your fellow man. That's what I want more than the sacrifices. It wasn't that God didn't want them because he had commanded them. The point was we can't keep certain commands while neglecting mercy toward our fellow man and expect that God is going to accept whatever we offer to him. God desires mercy. He did in the first century and brethren, he still does today. In Matthew, the 23rd chapter, in this occasion where Jesus strongly condemned the hypocrisy of the scribes and Pharisees, 8 times he called them hypocrites in this chapter. One of the things that he said in verse 23 fairly summarized their great shortcoming. Where he said, woe to you scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for you pay tithe of mint, anise, and cumin, and have neglected the weightier matters of the law, justice and mercy and faith. These you ought to have done without leaving the others undone. And again, the problem wasn't that they were strictly following the law on tithes. Jesus said, these you ought to have done. It was that they were doing so focused on those things that they neglected what God wanted more: justice, mercy, and faith. Friends and brethren, mercy, did you notice, was one of those weightier matters that they neglected. So brethren, let's not overlook that either. Remember to be merciful. And why is that? Because we are to be like Him. It should be a given that disciples should be striving to be more like God and less like the world every day of our lives. And for today, let's focus on the fact that one of the characteristics of God is that He is merciful. And that being true, we need to be merciful as He is merciful. We are, in fact, admonished by Jesus in Luke, the 6th chapter, verses 35 and 36. Verse 36, He said, "Therefore be merciful, just as your Father also is merciful." There it is in very plain language: be merciful as your Father also is merciful. And He said this, though, immediately after He had told His audience that He is kind to the unthankful and evil. In the context, He was talking about being nice and doing things for people not just like us. He would say in the context there, the sinners do that much. So let's not overlook the fact that if we are to be merciful as He is merciful, we have to also show merciful to the unthankful and to the evil, not just to those we like. Not just to the ones who just like us, who think like us, who agree with us on everything. And therein is the challenge, is it not? It's easy to be merciful to the ones that are grateful towards us or to others. It's easy to be merciful to those who are otherwise kind and gentle and generally good people, as we say. It's not so easy to be merciful to those who sometimes we wish really weren't around. Maybe that they didn't even exist at all because they're just mean and they're unthankful. They're ungrateful. They're not so kind. And maybe they are evil. But we must be merciful as our Father also is merciful. He is the standard by which we measure ourselves. So brethren, remember to be merciful as He is merciful. We are to also be forgiving as He is forgiving. God is the standard of our mercy again. And so we have to extend that mercy to the acts of mercy. And of course, the greatest act of mercy is that of forgiveness. We shouldn't be surprised then to read Paul's admonition in Ephesians the 4th chapter and verse 32 that tells us, as Christians, be kind to one another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God in Christ forgave you. Now I have to point out every once in a while, just as a reminder, because sometimes I've seen this happen amongst brethren where somebody who is been out of service to the Lord, or they've committed some public sin that they've made a public confession of, where some of the brethren will kind of step back and say, "Yeah, we'll see. I'll forgive them after I see if they really mean it." Is that how God forgives us? Does He kind of put us on a 90-day probation period to see if we really meant what we said when we said we were sorry that we had sinned against Him? Does He put us on this 90-day probation and make sure we don't do anything else wrong during that time period? And then if we are perfect during that time, then He will forgive us. Aren't you glad God doesn't do it that way? What happens if we died somewhere in that 90-day period, not having been truly forgiven? Let me ask you a more relevant question. What's going to happen to you if you do the same to your brother? If you really don't forgive as God forgives you, what if you hold back that forgiveness and you say, I'll see if he's deserving of my forgiveness. That's not how God forgives us, because we're not deserving of His forgiveness. It's not about what we deserve. And I'm thankful for that. God did not forgive us partially or on some time frame. It was never conditioned upon us never committing another sin. or even the same sin again. In the same way God was forgiving of us, we must also forgive others. Remember to be merciful as God is merciful. And let's consider the blessings of those who do this. Being merciful disciples is demanded of God, but it's not without blessings if we truly follow His example. In fact, Jesus said very plainly in the Sermon on the Mount, Matthew the 5th chapter, in the portion we call the Beatitudes, Jesus said, "Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy." Now that in itself is possibly the greatest blessing of all. And I think, isn't that completely reasonable to say that those who are merciful shall obtain mercy? Jesus also tells us in Luke the 6th chapter and verse 37, "Forgive and you will be forgiven." Be merciful, you get mercy. Forgive, you'll be forgiven. In other words, mercy begets mercy. But this truth is one that we must not take lightly. Going back to the passage that was read just a few minutes ago in James the 2nd chapter, so look at those last couple of verses that were read, verses 12 and 13, where he said, "So speak and so do as those who will be judged by the law of liberty. For judgment is without mercy to the one who has shown no mercy. Mercy triumphs over judgment." In other words, if we have not been merciful to others, we can't expect that when we stand before God in the final judgment that we're going to get mercy. And if mercy is what we seek, and we all will, we all do, then we need to remember to be merciful now, because our judgment is going to depend on it. And this is conditional. If we are merciful, we can obtain mercy. If. But we also find honor is due to the ones who are merciful. The wise writer tells us in the book of Proverbs, in Proverbs 14, verse 21, "He who despises his neighbor sins, but he who has mercy on the poor, happy is he." And again in chapter 21, verse 21, "He who follows righteousness and mercy finds life, righteousness, and honor." Did you catch that? If we follow after righteousness and mercy, we're not going to find just righteousness, but also life and honor. You seek true happiness and honor, remember to be merciful. How great a blessing it is, though, to know that the merciful God has promised blessings on those who imitate Him and are truly merciful as He is merciful. Brethren, remember to be merciful. Again, because He is merciful. That is the standard. And so we look at God and we realize in His character that is a great part of who He is and how we would describe Him. Paul reminds us in Ephesians the 2nd chapter in the first 5 verses that we should greatly appreciate the mercy that's been shown toward us, because as he starts out in that chapter, "We were all once dead in trespasses and sin. We all once conducted ourselves in the lusts of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind." And in that state, God, who is rich in mercy, because of His great love with which He loved us, even when we were dead in trespasses, made us alive together with Christ. And I think the word "rich" there, as it is used, really doesn't even fully tell us how great that mercy is. Because His mercy is truly beyond measure, as we're going to see here in just a minute. We were all spiritually dead and following after whatever we desired and what that we might think would bring us pleasure. And yet, in that condition, He was willing to show mercy to us. Again, I don't think "rich" is even a strong enough word, really. And so because He is merciful, we need to remember to be merciful. But let's also understand, not only is He rich in mercy, He delights in mercy. This is not something that God demonstrated or demonstrates with hesitation or grudgingly, which makes it all that much greater. The scriptures, in fact, tell us in Micah, the 7th chapter, verse 18, that he has not retained his anger forever because he delights in mercy. Do you delight in mercy? Do we delight in mercy? I think most of the time we begrudgingly show mercy. It's almost kind of like the two kids that have been fighting together with one another, and the mom brings them in there. And what happened here? Well, he hit me, and well, she stuck her tongue out at me. Okay, you tell her you're sorry. You tell him you're sorry. So they both stand over there in the corner. They're going, I'm sorry. If I have to. Isn't that how we sometimes show mercy to our brethren? If I have to. I guess. That's not how God shows mercy. And try to get that picture in your head. You know all the wrongs you've done before God. And now think, with your wrongs in mind, that he looked at you and not, without a second thought, without thinking, well, I don't know, he was willing to show you mercy. And he delighted in it. That's how we are supposed to show mercy. This too, I think, is seen in the fact in 2 Peter 3 and verse 9 that he is long-suffering toward us, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. He's long-suffering. In other words, he is merciful, giving us this time for us to repent because he doesn't want anybody to be lost. Why? Because he delights in mercy. As told to the Israelites through Ezekiel, Ezekiel 33 and verse 11, God said, as I live, I have no pleasure in the death of the wicked, but that the wicked turn from his way and live. It is the grossest of errors to accuse God of being mean or unloving or unfair when it comes to the eternal fate of any man or even the sufferings of this earthly life. God is merciful, and he delights in mercy. He is not some cruel, capricious, tyrannical God that has no reason for his action or inaction. We can't even begin to understand all of his actions because we don't have the knowledge that he has. What we do know about God is that he is merciful, he is rich in mercy, and he delights in mercy. Whatever judgments we may make about him based on this world and the fact of eternal condemnation is based on our lack of knowledge. God delights in mercy. How much does he show mercy? Well, the measure here, I don't think it would be unfair to ask what degree God shows mercy. And to whom does he show mercy? And I think the psalmist best described this, and he writes that God's mercy is, first of all, great. His mercy is great. And that's a very simple word, but very powerful when you read what he did write. Psalm 103, verse 8, beginning, the Lord is merciful and gracious, slow to anger and abounding in mercy. He will not always strive with us, nor will he keep his anger forever. He has not dealt with us according to our sins, nor punished us according to our iniquities. For as the heavens are high above the earth, so great is his mercy toward those who fear him. Let's focus on that word great for right now. When you see that picture that he describes there, as high as the heavens are above the earth, well, how high is that? Well, we're still figuring out, even with our new telescope, that outer space goes way out there. And if you can measure that, then you can measure the mercy of God. I think when we think about all these statements that he makes here, we would have to agree that indeed his mercy is great. He would also write in Psalm 86 and verse 5, for you, Lord, are good and ready to forgive and abundant in mercy to all those who call upon you. Verse 15, you, O Lord, are a God full of compassion and gracious, long-suffering and abundant in mercy and truth. I don't believe it's a stretch to say that God is rich in mercy because his mercy is abundant, because it's offered to all who are willing to acknowledge their sin and believe and obey. So, brethren, remember to be merciful because his mercy is great. He goes on to, in fact, say that it's everlasting. Go back to Psalm 103, now verses 17 and 18. He said, but the mercy of the Lord is from everlasting to everlasting on those who fear Him. And His righteousness to children's children, to such as keep His covenant, and to those who remember His commandments to do them, to those who love Him and keep His word. There is a conditional statement here to this mercy that we would like to sometimes forget. To those who keep His covenant, those who keep His commandments. But to those who do, that mercy is everlasting. What a blessing to know that He is so long-suffering. He is willing to bear with our weaknesses, our shortcomings, our failures, and our sins. As stated earlier, He is ready to forgive if we would just seek Him. The psalmist, in fact, dedicated an entire psalm to speak to this point regarding His mercy. Turn over to Psalm 136. I'm not going to read it all because it'd get repetitive after about the third verse. But I want you to notice in all 26 verses of Psalm 136, He closes by saying, for His mercy endures forever. Sometime on your own, read that psalm and notice each statement that's made, and then think about, what's mercy got to do with it? And then find the answer to that, because it's not all unrelated. He was willing to dedicate an entire song about the mercy of God. And could it ever really be said enough that His mercy endures forever? Rather, remember to be merciful. And let us be eternally grateful for the great promise of God made possible through the blood of our Lord Jesus Christ and the sacrifice that He made. And that promise is one that again speaks of His mercy. Hebrews the 8th chapter and verse 12, I will be merciful to their unrighteousness and their sins and lawless deeds I will remember no more. That's a quote from Jeremiah chapter 31 verse 34, speaking of a promise that would be fulfilled through the sacrifice of Jesus Christ and the establishment of the new covenant. And we as Christians have been the recipients of such great and abundant mercy. And for that we should remember to be merciful. Be merciful as your Father in heaven is merciful, as He has been merciful and forgiving to you. Forgiving as He is forgiving and continues to forgive us. That is how we should be. He is our standard. Brethren, remember to be merciful. Yes, keep the commandments. Yes, come and worship Him in spirit and truth. But remember to be merciful. Do not overlook, let's not neglect the weightier matters, which include mercy. This lesson is not one that would teach you what to do to become a child of God, to become a Christian. But if you have heard or studied the Word and you have come to believe it to be true that Jesus is the Christ and Son of God, that He came to this earth and died for your sins on that cruel cross, He was buried and then raised on the third day, you believe all that to be true, it's time to act on that belief. Jesus Himself says, He sent the apostles out into the world to preach that message, said, he who believes and is baptized shall be saved. If you've not done that, we plead with you to do so today, that you may be the recipient of the great mercy of God by your sins being forgiven. And then have the blessings of continued forgiveness whenever we repent and confess them to God. That's the great blessing we have, of the continued forgiveness as long as we repent of those sins. He's willing. He's ready to forgive always. Maybe you're here today as one who's already obeyed the gospel, but you've not been walking faithfully. Again, the mercy of the Lord is waiting for you to do what needs to be done. Take care of that today in whatever way you need to. Or if you're here today and you just need the prayers of this congregation for help in some way, whatever your need, will you come as we stand and sing?